Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
On today's episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad, we're talking about upgrades. Are they worth it, or are they a total waste of money? So when you're flying, what is the best way to get a cheap upgrade, either with cash or points? And when is it actually just not worth it at all? Plus, we talk about hotels and rental car upgrades and the best way that you can actually get these for free. And it's not as hard as you might think. So we're going to talk about all of this and more. So let's jump in. Morning, Steph, or good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Very late where you are.
Well, it's like 9:10 p.m.
So oh, Steph is currently
not too bad.
It's not so bad. She's also currently in a van.
Yeah, I am recording from the back of a van. I'm currently doing a month-long van life around Queensland, which we're going to talk about in the next episode.
Yes, well, you'll hear more on that. But if you do want to follow Steph's little adventure, go on the socials. She's been posting some really cool content, which is making me massively envious. I wish I was on the road doing something.
I'm being a little content creator.
She is.
That makes me laugh.
I love it. Yeah, no, I really wish I was doing that, because all the traveling I've been doing lately has just been work. I've been...
Yeah, that's why this episode has taken so long to get out, because you have been literally everywhere.
I have been everywhere. In the words of Johnny Cash, I've been everywhere. Yeah, all over the place.
Look at you with the song lyrics. That's usually me.
Yeah. Yours, I usually don't get the reference, and mine, you usually don't get the reference. And that's
I know,
okay.
You edit them out half the time. I re-listen. I'm like, oh.
Anyways, okay, yeah. So I've been all over the place. Berlin, Dublin. I went to Madrid for the first time.
Yes.
On a work trip, and you know, my toxic trait is thinking that anywhere in Spain or like Portugal are like hot all year round. So when I got to Madrid,
like rain and stuff just doesn't exist in these places.
Yeah, like I'm like, oh, I'm going to Spain, and I'll walk around in a bikini. Not really though, it was a work trip. And yeah, I got there and it was like 10 degrees, raining, gray, cold, like colder than London. And I'm like, oh.
That reminds me of in 2015 when I flew into South Africa, and this is so embarrassing to admit, but I was like, it's Africa, it's hot. And it was -1. It was -1 degrees Celsius. Yeah. And I messaged my mom, and she's like, you know, you're as close to Antarctica as you can get, right? And I was like, okay, well, when you put it like that, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so that was, I mean, realistically, I do know it's not hot there all the time. It's just every time I go, I don't know why, I just assume it will be. But I mean, I did bring warm clothes, and I was working most of the time anyway, so I was inside, but I did get a day where I got to like walk around, explore. Yeah, Madrid is it's a city, you know, like it's, I definitely prefer Barcelona, where it is much warmer.
Yeah.
In the wintertime. But yeah, Madrid, I guess, is, it's just, yeah, it's a really pretty city, and you know, you can definitely spend a, you know, a couple days walking around. Beautiful gardens that we went. I think we posted some of that on the socials as well. But that was a lot of fun. But I feel like I need just like an actual personal weekend getaway, which maybe I'll plan before before Christmas. But yeah, and then Berlin as well. I feel like I've been to Berlin like 3 or 4 times this year. Can't go wrong in Berlin. I'll, you know, go and eat the currywurst and doner kebab and have beers. What more do you need? But speaking of Berlin, I actually want to give a little shout out. So a couple weeks ago, I got a message from somebody on LinkedIn, of all places. Usually we get messages, you know, on our Instagram or our Facebook. And I got a message on LinkedIn from Emily. And Emily actually works for my old company, but she, you know, connected with me on LinkedIn and then said she's also an avid listener of the podcast. So I was like, wow, like two worlds colliding. I don't know how I feel about this. But no, I'm kidding.
That's awesome.
It was really exciting to hear. And then like I showed like my old colleagues that I used to work with there. I was like, look, someone that works at our old company also listens to my podcast. And they were all like, oh, it's really going to your head, isn't it? I'm like, all right, guys, let me
take
have this
the wins.
Moment.
You're allowed to have wins.
Exactly. No, they were just being silly. But anyway, so yeah. Emily, thanks for listening. Always great to hear from our listeners. And I think we got a message as well from a new listener who's been binging the podcast. So thank you so much, Steph.
Yes. Shout out to Frank Sanders. He just sent us the loveliest message. So thanks for listening, Frank.
Yeah. Hope you binge all the episodes. And for any new listeners that are with us, we have a whole catalog of episodes. I think this is like, what episode number is this? 112?
This will be 112.
That's a lot, guys. You got a lot to catch up on, Frank. But anyway, so yeah, that's what's been going on. And then I feel like I have to fill everyone in on my Airbnb life and how that's going. So for those that have listened to the last couple episodes, I started as an Airbnb host. I did, and I think I talked about a little bit about it, saying, you know, I had a couple guests so far, and it was all going really well and smooth sailing.
You had
sailing.
A great run there.
Had a great run until recently.
Until you didn't.
Oh my goodness. Where do I start? So I had this couple come from the States, and they were leaving on the same day that I had another couple coming, which is fine. You know, I have enough time in between, like 3 hours, that I can like clean up the room. But then what happened? I had to go to Madrid last minute for work. And so the day that there was the crossover, I was going to be in Madrid. And I'm like, well, what do I do? Because the new guests are going to come. The bed's not going to be made. The room's not going to be clean. I don't trust cleaners in my area either. They cancel on you like last minute all the time. So I was like, I can't just like, you know, give my keys to someone. Anyways, so the new guests that were coming, I explained the situation. They said, it's perfectly fine. We're more than happy to like put our own sheets on the bed, as long as the other guests strip the bed down. I was like, okay, fine. And I thought, if I was an Airbnb guest, would I be okay with that? I think I would be, if it was down to like no other.
If the price was right, I would.
Yeah, exactly. And also I was like, you and your boyfriend will have basically the whole flat to yourself for like 2 days. So for the price they were getting for a room in London, they actually got an entire flat. So I think she was like, yeah, done deal. So I was nervous enough though. I don't like being away and Airbnb-ing out my spare room. I just feel like I like to be there in case anything does go wrong. But thankfully, nothing had gone wrong in the last 2 months of me hosting. It'd been great. Hand the keys over to guests. They stay. They say goodbye. Hand the keys back. So the couple that was here that from the States, first of all, they were just a little bit... They tested my patience a couple times. First of all, they locked me out one night. I got home at like... Of my own place. I got home at like midnight. I'd been out with some friends. I came back and I couldn't open the door. And what they had done, for any Brits listening, they had double locked the inside with the little like latch. And once that's locked from the inside, you can't open it. It's like a security lock. So I'm like yelling up to the window, like, which is open in their room to let me in. And the, you know, the guy is like, oh, hello. I'm like, hi, like I'm locked out. Can you let me in? And they're like, oh, sorry. They come down and they said, oh, sorry, we locked it just for, you know, security, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but you locked me out. So like, don't, I've never had to explain anyone not to use that latch. But then I was like, okay, so to be safe, I put tape on it. So that was one thing. The next day they had messaged me. I was out. It was like 15 degrees Celsius. in London. And they were like, hey, how do we put the heating on? And I'm like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, clearly these people are not British because they don't realize how
this one made me laugh so much.
How expensive it is right now to put your heating on in the UK. It's insane. And I'm like, oh my God, it's 15 degrees. But I'm like, whatever, like they're guests if they want the heating on. So I told them, fine, just turn up the thermostat. It'll come on. And then I get home later, the heat's on, but their windows are wide open in their bedroom. Ooh. And I'm like, this is testing my patience, but okay, whatever. They're guests, like, just think they'll be gone in a couple days. So that all happens. And then I go to Madrid and I explain to this couple, I said, look, I'm going to be in Madrid. Are you cool with stripping the bed, leaving your set of keys? They say, yeah, it's fine. And I told them, I'm like, I have another set of keys for the new guest coming. I'm going to put them in a lockbox outside. But can you also just leave your keys inside? Yeah, no problem. No problem. We got it. Cool. I get to Madrid later that day. The guy messages me. He's locked out of the flat. They have no keys. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what do you mean you're locked out? He goes, oh, we think we left the keys inside earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're lucky that that spare set of keys is in that lockbox outside. And he's like, can you give us the code so we can get them? I'm like, yes, but you have to like make sure those keys go back in that lockbox for the guests. He's like, no problem, no problem. So they get inside the flat. He's looking for the keys. And then I'm like, well, I'll just check my Ring doorbell and see if I can see anything from the morning. Sure enough, I can see he's got the keys in his hand when he leaves at 11 that morning. So I message
him while he was out.
I was like, you had the keys when you left. They're gone. So he's, you know, calling the restaurants and everything. And I'm like, all right, again, you're lucky there's a spare set of keys because I'm in Madrid. Like, I'm not even in the same country. I can't deal with this. He's like, oh, it's all good. I'll put them back in the lockbox. So they leave. Thank God he put the keys back in the lockbox and the new guests arrive and they message me and they say, we're in, no problem. They said it is actually tidy. They've stripped the bed. I was like, okay, good. At least I was stressing out just thinking like if there's a problem with the lockbox, like if these guests can't get in. So I felt immediately better and I'm like, okay, I can relax. So later that night, I get a message from the new guests that are there from the girl. And she says, hey, just wondering if there's something like some trick to your bathroom door to get it to open. And I'm like, what do you mean? You just open it like a regular door. And she's like, oh, well, my boyfriend is trapped inside your bathroom. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, are you sure it's not just locked? She's like, well, no, like he doesn't have it locked. He can't open the door. So she sends me a video and the door handle is quite obviously broken. Like it's just loose and hanging. And I'm like, what the hell? And she's like, yeah, he's stuck in there. What do we do? And I'm like, I don't even know. Like, what do you do when you get stuck in a bathroom? And I said, I was like, I have tools downstairs, but I'm like, I don't even know how to, you know, wouldn't know. Like, do you take the handle off? And she's like, I don't know either. She goes, my boyfriend's handy, but he's locked in the bathroom. And I'm like, well, that doesn't help, does it? So I'm like, okay, bear with me. And I'm like trying to find like a messaging like handy people that have come to my house before. And she's then messaging me back going like, he's really starting to panic. I think we might call 999, which is like the emergency, like 000 in Australia.
Can you imagine?
I was like, oh my God, hold on. Just please hold on. And so I put a note out in my neighborhood Facebook group just being like, and it's like 10 p.m. at this point, can I just say? And you know, I'm like urgent, 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 like give them the situation. And thank God this guy that lives nearby, he was like, I'll go over, let me go get my tools. So he goes over, gets there like an hour later. This guy's been locked in my bathroom for 2 hours and he manages to get him out. And I was like, I just felt so bad for these guests who had to like make their own bed, got locked in my bathroom. They were so nice about it. They were like, no, thank you so much for dealing with it. And I'm thinking like, how has this all happened? The one time I go away, lost keys, guests locked in the bathroom. So then I get home the next day. I meet the lovely guests that got locked in my bathroom. And they were, again, just very gracious. And, you know, they were like, no problem, no problem. It's not your fault. So now we're all like sharing a bathroom that has no door handle. So I'm like, privacy out the window. And then I go to do the laundry from the previous guests with the sheets and everything. And I run the washing machine. And when I go to pull it out, I realize they've thrown the entire like duvet or like comforter in the washing machine instead of just taking the cover off. And I'm like, So I like asked my guests that are currently staying, I'm like, what duvet or blanket are you guys using? Because this is the only double one I have. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She's like, oh, we found one in the closet. And there's like a little cheap little single duvet I have in there. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, that's a single. She's like, oh, it's fine. Like, we've been okay. I'm like, geez, these poor guests had to make their own beds, got locked in my bathroom, and then slept with a single duvet cover.
So this whole conversation started with us talking about how Airbnb's gone down. And this hilarious story with this couple. It's like,
I know.
If we were to talk about like a Airbnb nightmare.
No, for real. And trust me, Airbnb nightmare for a host as well. A host that is like, well, was in
you
another country.
You are not being the change.
Oh, I was not being the change. And then, so they leave and they're so lovely and they give me a 5-star review still. And they just said the nicest things about me. And I'm like, oh, thank God. These people were just so, I gave them a bottle of wine and everything as well, just to like, you know.
Yeah.
And then, so they leave and I go into the bedroom to strip the sheets and I kind of look at the mattress and I'm like, why does it look so like saggy in the middle? And I look under the bed and the bed is completely broken. The metal frame, like the middle, the legs were completely bent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this just like is the cherry on top. And I can only assume it was the couple before that broke the bed. The guy was a pretty big guy. And I think they broke the bed. I mean, I can't prove it. I don't know who broke the bed. But I'm just thinking, to top it all off, this lovely couple that stayed with me probably were also sleeping on a broken bed the whole time they were here. So I had to like take the whole bed apart. I had new guests coming in like 2 days. So I had to buy a new bed, put that together. It was all just like mega stress.
Chaos.
Yeah. I had to get the door fixed. The tap is also broken. Somebody broke the tap in my bathroom. So I've got a plumber coming to fix that. So basically in the last month, pretty much all the money I've made from Airbnb has gone back into fixing things that have all broken to get new keys, a new fob for my building. So I don't know. I might take a little break from Airbnb.
I think you need to take a break, do a little breath work, get a little
zen. I think
zen.
So. I think it's maybe. I've got a few more guests coming, but I think I might just pause it for like a month or so and just let me compose myself. But anyway, so that I wanted to share my Airbnb chronicles with you guys because I just thought it was too good of a story not to share.
And sometimes when you share, it lightens the load. So, and I think you need that right now.
I'm hoping everyone's getting a good laugh out of just imagine this poor guy trapped in my bathroom panicking.
Imagine though, like I think of like 999-000 here in Australia. I think of those calls for like, you know, someone's being beaten or like someone's dying. Imagine your reason for calling 999 is I'm stuck in a bathroom and can't get out. It's like, surely they could have. I don't know.
Because I guess firefighters, they do stuff like this, right? Like firefighters will come and like get cats out of trees. That's a real thing. I've seen it outside of my building.
I'd be embarrassed. Surely there's a way with, I don't know, maybe I've just changed an abnormal amount of door handles that I understand how the mechanisms work. That even if it's broke, it's broke.
Maybe. I don't know. I see, but the thing is, I was not there. So I can't tell you. Because I said to her, I'm not opposed to you breaking the door. And she's like, it's really jammed. I mean, I'm just grateful that there was two of them there because I was thinking, imagine it was one person that went into the bathroom without a phone.
This is why you take your phone in the toilet.
Exactly.
This is why you do it.
This is why. Yeah, that's why. And because, you know, endless scrolling while you're sat on the pop. But yeah, so, I mean, it could have been so much worse. Like, you know, in the lost key situation, there could have not been a set outside and they would have had to call a locksmith. So like, I think lessons learned in all of this. I'm always going to keep a spare set outside in that lockbox anyways, just in case. I don't know what I learned lesson-wise of somebody getting locked in my bathroom. Just maybe change all the door handles in my house. I don't know. Contingency plan, though. Have a handyman on call. But anyways, so that's been my Airbnb drama. On a more uplifting note, though, for those of you that follow us on the socials, you'll see that Steph and I had a little mini reunion.
Yes, we did.
It was like 24 hours, if that.
About that. Maybe a few more. But it was a couple months back. I had to book a trip to Texas for work. And I messaged you, just randomly filling you in, like, oh, yeah, I booked my flight to Texas these dates. And you were like, pardon me.
Sorry.
And that was the week you were in New York and you were going to Philly for your friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And I was like, going to Texas for 1 week. Can I fly to Philly Saturday morning and back Sunday night? Yes, yeah. I can.
And conveniently, I had a plus one. And conveniently, I'm single as ever. There was no chance I was bringing any man with me. And I thought, Steph could be my plus one. And Steph actually knows my friend that was getting married. They met years ago in Toronto. And yeah, I was like, perfect. This is perfect. So Steph flew over to Philly and we went to the wedding. It was so much fun. We had such a good time, got all dolled up, dressed up. And then the next day we just had a day in Philly. And what a day it was. I feel like we did a lot.
We did a lot. I was really happy. We were like really good tourists that day.
Yeah. And it was such a nice day because the day before it was like pissing down rain for my friend's wedding, which was unfortunate, but thankfully it was all inside anyways. And then the next day was just beautiful and sunny. And we just, again, walked around like tourists. We got a picture under like the love, what is it?
Love sign
in Love Park in Philly. We ran up. I ran up the rocky steps hungover after my friend's wedding, which was, I don't know if I would recommend on a hangover, but we did it. I did it. Steph filmed me.
I did it last time I was in Philly.
Oh, so fair. Okay.
Like, I don't need to do this again.
Fair enough. I went to the Liberty Bell. What else did we do? We saw the Rocky statue.
We went to the rivalry of the two Philly cheesesteaks.
Oh, yeah.
We had one at each.
I can't remember what the names were, but you can see it on our Insta. I think we posted it there, but like they're right across from each other. And one of them was like a hands down winner. Like one tasted. I'll be honest, I was not really a fan of a Philly cheesesteak regardless. I kind of thought it was they were both a bit sickly.
I feel like they could have tasted, like you could do a cheesesteak way better. But
because they use like Cheese Whiz, right? Like
which apparently is the original. Like, yeah, that's the whole shtick about it. It's the original Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking it. I just, it wasn't, we had a few bites of, we didn't even like finish a whole one. And I thought like, oh, I don't know how someone can eat like a whole.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess it's meant to be a big, greasy.
Yeah, and then randomly we were in Little Italy. I didn't even realize that's where we were. So we went and had some coffees, cannolis, went for a walk. It was fantastic.
It was a nice day. It was fun. And then we flew back. And I'm like flipping my hair as I say this on my way to New York. So I flew into New York. I was in New York for a week first, visiting friends, doing all the New York things as you do. And on my flight there, I got upgraded to business, which was really exciting. So I flew with BA. I always fly with BA. That's who I've got like my points with. I'm silver status with BA. And yeah, on the way there, I generally will always book premium economy for long haul flights now just because I need that extra leg room. I'm very tall and I just find it very uncomfortable sitting in. I genuinely feel like economy is getting smaller and smaller. Like, I feel like that is a thing. So I booked premium economy, and then when I got to the airport, they actually had to like switch the planes for some reason. Like, our flight was almost going to get canceled. I don't really understand it. But anyways, they said, oh, it was going to get canceled, but then they found another plane. And this plane actually didn't have enough premium economy seats. So they had to bump a few people up to business. And I was one of them. I was super grateful. But, you know, obviously they do it on status as well. They'll look at like whoever's gold status first, they'll get bumped up. I was silver status. So I got bumped up. But on the way back, though, I had actually booked business. So my entire like return flight from New York back was business class. And now finally onto our topic, 25 minutes into into this episode, you know, we're going to actually talk a little bit about upgrades and if they're worth it. I feel like there's a lot of scenarios where I think they are worth it and other times they're not. And not just for flights, but we're going to talk hotels and car upgrades if you're renting cars and, you know, trying to, I guess, figure out for you, like, would it be worth it? And starting with flying, okay, I feel like it's the dream, right, to fly business or first class, which are two separate classes now. I guess the first question you have to ask yourself is, can you afford it? Like, and this is something I always look at now, like, you know, how long is my flight going to be? And how, like, where am I going to be more comfortable? And even upgrading to premium economy for me on an 8-hour flight or really anything over 6 hours, that is always worth it to me because I definitely will need that extra comfort for those long haul flights.
Can we, for our listeners' sake, because I feel like premium economy from London to Toronto, which or New York, which I know you fly to both a lot, like how much is that? Because in my mind, premium economy, yeah. I only have reference from like Australia to Canada. So like,
oh, like price wise what it is?
Yeah, price wise what are we talking here?
It's different all the time. That's what I'm saying. Like it will vary depending on what time of year you're flying. Like premium economy can be 1,000, it can be 1,800
pounds, dollars.
It could be pounds. But like it could be less than that. And that's what I'm saying. The price tag for me on premium economy doesn't really matter that much because I will still book it.
Okay.
But where that drops off or where that changes is business. Now, I have flown business a few times. Now, I have never paid full price for business. Business is expensive. You will sometimes look on there and you'll look at flights and it can be like £7,000 just to fly like one way, which is
full on
insane. I would never, to me, that extra comfort and like, it's not even comfort at that point. It's luxury. That extra luxury is not worth £7,000. It's not even worth probably £1,000 to me.
Yeah, that amount of money is people who don't have to worry about money.
Totally. And I'm not one of those people. Now, where I've always been able to fly business is when there have been cheap upgrades available. And so I always, most of the time, I'd say 9 times out of 10, I'm booking premium economy and I keep my eyes on like my BA app because every so often they'll have an upgrade option available. Mm-hmm. And remember when you guys upgrade, you can't upgrade from economy to business. You have to upgrade one class only, right? So if I've already...
Not with Qantas.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you had to do like upgrade to upgrade.
Sorry, maybe I'm thinking domestic. I think you're right. Oh, maybe. Yes.
I guess it's going to, and it's also going to vary by airline, probably, like I would imagine. But with BA, you can only upgrade up one kind of class. So if you're economy, you can only upgrade to premium. And then if you upgrade to premium, you have to upgrade again to business. So you're probably paying more. Now, the first time I ever flew business, there was an upgrade on the way there. But I don't know. I don't remember. And it was, I think, £350. And I was like, £350 for business for an 8-hour flight, like additional to what I had already paid. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to spend it. Like to me, I was at the time I had an extra £350. I'd never flown business. I wanted to, and I did. And I got to say, once you do it once, not only.
I know, they got you.
Not only that, not only have you experienced it and you're like, wow, it is nice. But actually, once you do it, you get a lot of extra points. And the points are much easier to rack up, right? So since I flew it that one time, that's what first bumped me up to bronze status with BA. And then from there, I was earning more points for every booking I made and, you know, accumulating more points to the point where anytime I would upgrade after that, it actually didn't cost me as much. And I would still keep my eyes peeled for, you know, cheap upgrades I could pay with cash, which I had done before as well. But I finally got to the point after a couple years that I was able to book, like even my flight home at Christmas this year, I booked, I think I have one way is business, one way is premium economy that I booked the majority of that with points. And then I just paid the difference in cash, which was the same price as an economy flight. So I don't know if that kind of made sense, but yeah, I basically got a business and premium economy flight for the price of economy for a trip home at Christmas. And flying at Christmas is obviously super expensive. So, but that was from over time, like you have to weigh out for you. Is it going to be worth it? Are you flying with the same airline, right? Because it's the loyalty aspect of it, right? Like that's what they do. They give you the points, they bump you up status. But eventually it almost becomes worth it if you're doing enough long haul flights. I will say that as well.
Absolutely. And that's where, and this has been a learning for me. So last year, or it wasn't even last year, it was this year in June. There's just so much has happened in 6 months. I flew back from LA and I made the most rookie error. I remember telling you about this, where I looked the night before at the seat selection and the plane was half empty. Mm. And I was like, oh, this is great. So I'm like, where do I want to sit? And I thought, if I book an aisle seat, someone's going to book the window. And if I book a window seat, someone's going to book the aisle. I don't know. I cannot believe I made such a rookie error. So I thought I'll book a middle seat and then people want to book on either side of me.
No.
Well, I get to the airport and look at the seat map. And don't you know, the whole plane's full and I'm in a middle seat.
That is risky business stuff.
What was I thinking? I don't know. I don't know. So this was the first time I got up to the desk and I'm like, I cannot fly LA to Melbourne 15 hours in a middle seat. So I said, is there an opportunity to like pay for an upgrade to premium economy today? Mm. She was like, yeah. I'm like, do you know about how much that is? She's like, I'd have to go check. They're usually like 1500 to 3000 US dollars.
Crazy money.
And I was like, can you go check? Because I'm like, I'm not paying $3,000.
No.
And she goes and checks, and I don't know what dodgy business was going on here, but she comes back and she hands me a number on a piece of paper and slides it over. And I'm like, and I lift it up and it said $1,000. I'm like, you know what? Put me in it. Upgrade me.
It's probably in that moment where you're like, I can afford this $1,000. And for me, a 15-hour flight will be worth
it. And it was fantastic because she said she couldn't put, and all the premium economy seats were by themselves. They weren't side by side either. It was like individual seats, tons of space, beautiful.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The whole trip back was fantastic. So when I'm going to Texas the other week, same thing. I get to the airport, and this is where I say why I asked about prices when you book premium economy. Mm. So my round trip flight to Texas cost me $1,600 economy from Melbourne. I looked at the time because in my head I thought, oh, it cost me $1,000 to upgrade from LA. It must be like $3,000 round trip for economy. Melbourne to Texas was $6,500.
What?
Premium economy. I paid $1,600 economy, $6,500 if I wanted to book premium economy.
Yeah.
And this is why I was like, I can't just book premium economy. Like, no. It's so expensive.
But that's why it's so important to always, I say always check with, like you said, when you get to the airport.
Yeah.
So ask. I feel like the days of free upgrades are not really a thing anymore.
Gone.
Unless, again, in my situation, like there's some practical reason where they have to upgrade people. But like it used to be, people would be like, oh, if you go and you dress nicely and you ask them nicely. Like, no, they don't do that anymore. Airlines are like looking to make money. But a lot of the time, the upgrades, because they are last minute, they'll have seats they want to fill and get, some, you know, make a bit of extra cash off who they
money.
Can. Yeah, like there's been a couple times that I've gone and same thing, you know, I'll be flying economy or premium economy. Again, long haul flight. For me, anything under like 4 hours, not worth it. I don't care. I'll sit in economy. But anything over that, I'm like, no, I want some comfort. And I've asked like, what's the upgrade if I go to business? And they're like, £200. I'm like, done deal for £200 to like have that luxury. Hell yeah.
But that's where coming back around to where I was going. So I get to the airport at Melbourne to go to Dallas, and I say, is there a chance for an upgrade? They go, yeah, same thing, $1,000. Thought I'll pay it. And it must have been the type of plane I was on, but I swear to God, this one wasn't worth it. It felt like premium economy still felt like economy. And I was like, oh my God, I need to like look up the difference, the actual planes that I was on each way, because clearly the one was worth it. And the, and it's, I was like, I got to learn these things.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, I started doing this now as well, because even with BA, they do have a cup there. They have like an older fleet of planes where the like business, it's still nice. Don't get me wrong. But the newer fleet is way nicer. And actually, I think I did a video that we're going to post on our socials of like what it kind of looks like. Just a, you know, a day, not day in the life, but a, you know, come fly with me on business. I did a little vlog, if you will, because we're creatives, don't you know? But yeah, so I always kind of look at like, which plane is it going to be? And what's the, I mean, if you go on like YouTube, there's loads of vloggers that actually do reviews on different airlines, different classes, like economy up to like first class. And I love watching those because I actually am just like always really intrigued of like what other airlines, like what their business looks like. Some of them are lush. I flew with Emirates business once, and that was through work. So I think I had paid for an upgrade, which was super cheap considering my work had paid for the flight. I was like, worth it to me. I think it was like a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah.
And when I tell you Emirates business is okay. So I've only flown Emirates in BA business, but like, I don't know how it can get any better than Emirates. I'm like, it was just, I think I talked about it before on the podcast, but like, it was just luxury on like another level. This is the plane where they have like the bar and like the lounge in there as well, where you can go and like there's a bartender and like couches, and it's just like the food never stopped. Like I had champagne, like my champagne glass was filled up the whole time. Like they do it proper on Emirates. But yeah, but going back to the whole like, is it worth it? That's the thing. You know, when Steph and I are sitting here talking about £200 or $1,000, to some people, they can't afford that. And, you know, that's where you have to be like, okay, like you should never be going broke or going into debt for like upgrades on planes. And there's, you know, me saying this, there's been plenty of times where I remember even last year, I flew to Canada in the summer and it was like a month where I just, everything was breaking in my house and like all my money was going towards fixing things. And I had to fly home and I flew budget airline home because at the time I was like, I can't even fly like economy with BA. So I flew with like a WestJet for like £600, I think it was, versus like 1,000. So like there are times when I can't afford it, but at the times when I can afford it and that upgrade's available and I've got the extra money, to me, it's worth it. But I tell some people this, and to some people, they don't give a shit. They're like, I'll fly economy. I don't like, those are the people that can always fall asleep on planes, no matter like what uncomfortable position they're in. They're also like short. They can like curl up in the seat. I'm like, oh, aren't you adorable? Like try having these long ass legs. And they just are not bothered. Like I get really quite like agitated being confined to a small space. So yeah, you got to weigh out the pros and cons, I think.
Yeah.
And depending on like how far you're flying as well, like with BA, like business flying within Europe is not the same as business international.
Well, and that's ironically, so it's same thing here within domestically within Australia. Like it is not the same as international. And I used to sit, I always booked economy. Well, I still always book economy domestically, but I almost now always do points upgrade. So I fly almost exclusively Qantas business class within Australia.
Yeah.
And I've gotten used to it. And the lounges are nicer domestically than internationally, ironically.
I love. Okay. Let's talk about the lounges in a second. But no, I just.
No, I still have PTSD because I had lounge access on my flight to Brisbane to start the trip I'm currently on.
Yeah.
And I was dolled up, full dress.
Oh, yeah.
Makeup, jewelry, hair done. Like, I looked good, but my toes were showing and she didn't let me in. And there were people, and I get it, there's a rule, and I just wasn't thinking, but there were people in there with, like, ripped jeans and tradies with, like, ripped shirts with concrete all over it and steel-toe boots. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I Oh, and you can't fight with them. You just got to be like, I guess I'm rejected. And so I sucked it up, but I still, the lounge, I'm a bit sour still.
Okay. I have to say lounge access on, so again, I've got silver status now with BA. And with silver status, you get free lounge access. And even that alone to me is worth it 1,000 times over because I know how I am in an airport.
Our listeners said the same. We did a poll recently and we asked, and it's universally, once you're in that airport, rules and budgets out the window.
Oh God, I spend so much money in an airport it's expensive anyways, but like I will definitely have a couple glasses of wine before I get on a long haul flight for sure. So yeah. You're looking at a glass of wine is easily like £10 anywhere you go. Like I'm talking like Heathrow. So that's like £20 already. And then like for a meal, it's easily like another £20. That's like £40. And then usually to kill time, I'm walking around. I end up doing like, you know, meaningless shopping, buying stuff I don't need because I'm bored. Because I also get there like 3 hours early. So the lounge, I feel like it's a money saving thing for me. I go to the lounge, I eat free food. And the food is, every lounge I've been in, I have to say the worst lounge out of all the ones I've experienced is Toronto Pearson, that like the BA lounge, I'm saying. That one kind of sucks. It's not great. But I recently went to the one in Madrid. Oh, that was like the BA. It's like BA and Iberia because they're part of like One World club, whatever. That lounge was
That's Qantas lush. Is One World.
Yeah, so Qantas would be the same, yeah. That was nice. The one in Berlin is beautiful. But anyways, so going back to like, you end up getting this lounge access as you get more points. And you get more points, your tier points, if you're flying a higher class. So to put that into perspective, like an international flight with BA, if you're flying, I think economy is like you get 40 points, I want to say. Premium economy, you get 90. And then business, you get 140. And that's one way. So it's quite easy if you're like even premium economy, again, if you're doing a few long haul flights, it's really easy to move up that tiering system and get into like your bronze silver status.
Just for our Australian listeners, when you're saying points, that's the equivalent of Qantas flight credits.
Yes.
Points are different here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have like Avios points as well, which is like what you would book. So you've got your tier points that puts you in like what status you sit in.
Yes.
And then you've got your Avios points, which is basically what you can spend.
Like spending.
Yeah, on your upgrades and your flights and everything. Again, like the more I've flown and then I move up in the status, like even having that lounge access, to me, it's sometimes worth it doing those little cheap upgrades because I actually think of like what I would save anyways in like what I would spend in an airport, instead of just sitting in a lounge and not spending any money. So these are, there's all these little things that you have to take into consideration. And going back to business within Europe. So to me, because it's not usually that cheap even to upgrade to business, but like the actual seating, it's literally just the middle seat is taken out. Or they're not taken out, but they put like a little table in between so that like there's no one sitting there. But like you don't get any extra leg room. I would actually much prefer to book a fire, like a emergency exit where I get the leg room. But I know a lot of people that will always book like or upgrade to business flying like domestic because you get the extra tier points. It's actually a really easy way to move up the tier, the rank, I guess, if that makes sense. So. Yeah. To some people, it's worth it, and I always have to like weigh out the pros and cons of that. I'm like, yeah, but it's an extra £200 to fly like an hour, 2 hours. Like, I don't know. So for me, I always save it for the long haul flights, international, where there's a cheap upgrade. And also, I will say, not that this is an upgrade, but always check when you are booking the flights. Like I've seen this a few times with BA, where I've found business flights that are cheaper than premium economy, because
which
supply and demand, and it does happen every so often. So always. You never know. I always say just see what the price is because you might be able just to book a business flight with cash on the booking. It might actually not be that expensive.
And going back to what you were just saying a second ago, though, I'm actually paying to upgrade from I'm at the end of this trip. I'm flying from Cairns to Melbourne and I am paying to upgrade that to business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm doing that is because business class on Qantas give you 60 status credits. which is going to push me into gold.
Yes.
So Qantas, bronze and silver are kind of the two statuses where they're giving you status, but they don't mean much. Like silver, they give you 2 lounge passes a year and a thank you for flying with us.
Yeah.
Whereas it's gold where you get lounge access every flight. You get to enter the business class line at check-in. You get to first on the, like, gold is the status level where you really feel it. So I'm so close to hitting gold. Like, my points start again on December 1st.
Yeah.
I'm flying home November 30th. So that was like my cutoff. So I am upgrading it, and I feel like all the flights I'm going to be on next year, I'm going to be like, I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because that's what I did this year with silver. Because silver is the one on BA where you do feel it. That's where you get the lounge access. You can bring a guest with you. You get, like, the fast track.
Like, I feel like Qantas Gold is BA Silver.
Yeah, it is. And I think with BA Gold, I don't even know what the extras are. I mean, well, it's obviously better, but people say, like, you know, aspire to silver because you'll feel it then.
And that's the same with Qantas. Like, if you, like, I'm never going to go over gold. I know that, unless something drastic happens in my life.
Yeah.
But I'll be fine with that because gold, and once you're, and this is the trick, they're so hard to get into. But once you're in it, like, it's like, even once I'm gold, when I book my flights, everything's worth more. Like, it's easier to stay in it.
Well, that's it. And I think that's where it goes back to, like, you know, if you can afford the upgrade at the time and it's worth it to you, do it. Because some, like, it does feel like a case of you have to, like, spend a little bit first to be able to get into that status. But then it's all the things, you know, the upgrades and all that as well. Like, they come with it. Because, again, I got that free upgrade to New York because I was a silver status member, and they had to
they prioritize
people up.
Yeah
and I got bumped up to business on my way back from Berlin as well, which I don't know if it was because it was my birthday, but I just got, when I went up to the gate, it just said, like, thank you for your whatever, like, business, like, enjoy your free upgrades. And then I got stuck on the tarmac for 4 hours because they didn't update their sat-nav or something. So, well, that was fun. But the tier points run, though, that's a thing, though, as well. Like, I did that actually in earlier this year when I went to Tenerife. Because same, I was 10 points off from silver status. And I was like, I want to get that silver status before I go to Canada later this year so I can get the lounge access. So I went to Tenerife for like 2 days. Got the points, had a couple days in Tenerife, and then I came back. Was it Tenerife? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I went to Tenerife last year. It was, maybe it was. I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was.
No, Lanzarote. It was Lanzarote. Lanzarote. I went to Tenerife last year in November. So I went to Lanzarote this year. But yeah, but I know a lot of people that do, like, the tier point runs as well, which again just adds to, like, yeah, the status, and then you get more points when you fly, and then the upgrades are actually cheaper. And whenever you can, always book a flight or an upgrade with your points. Spend the points. Don't let your points, like, just sit there. So many people, you hear so many stories of people that have all these points and then they expire and they don't use them, and it's like, what is the point? What is the,
like,
point?
Even, I even just switched from Telstra to Optus for, because they had this, like, comparable promotion. It was going to give me $350 of flybys. So when I decided to make the switch, I logged into Telstra, looked how many Telstra points I had, ordered an Apple HomePod, and then switched. Otherwise, those points would have gone for nothing. And now I have an Apple HomePod.
Here's the other thing. You have to work out, and this is something I'm still learning how to do, and now we're going on to, like, a whole different topic of, like, points and getting the most out of them, and I feel like I'd love to bring an expert on, but you have to calculate the value of your points when you're using them combined with, like, paying for something in cash. So what I'm figuring out is where you actually will get the most use out of them is for bigger purchases, like booking business versus using it to, like, book an economy flight. And you take it and you work out the value of each point. It's going to be different for every airline. And then obviously just add that on to, like, what's the difference? Because even my flight, I think I spent like 40,000 of my Avios points plus whatever the amount was on top. I want to say it was like £800. And an economy flight would have been like £1,000 anyways. So again, I spent only £800 plus my points, And the money I saved when I worked out the points value was like around 500 pounds. Like it was like I was only spending something like 1500 on like business, which is cheap for business. So, yeah. And then, you know, when I go to the airport, because one of the flights is premium economy, I'm going to go to the desk and say, do you have an up? Like, are there any upgrades available? And then I'll see what it costs. And then you work out what the total is. But yeah, like it's, there's like ways to do it. And it is a little bit complicated. But where you can use your points for upgrades, do it.
Oh.
Use the points. Don't let them sit there and collect dust. Because the funny thing is as well, the points I used, I've already like collected them back pretty much with all the spending on my credit card anyway. So,
like. Well, and that's what I feel like I learned this lesson as a young child. Because my mom, like I am very lucky and I feel like I get that from her. She is someone who also like won stuff all the time and gift cards and this, and she traveled a lot for work, so she always had hotel status and
yeah,
all these different things, and she was notorious for letting them expire.
Ugh.
And then by the time she'd go to use them, one of two things would happen. A, the business would no longer exist. Mm-hmm. So she'd have like $100 gift card that was useless.
Yeah.
Or like she'd call to book a, you know, free hotel using her points. They'd say, oh, your points expired last year.
Yeah.
And then she'd have to like fight with them to try to get permission to use them, and like she was just the worst, and she knows this, she's gonna hear this, she was the worst with points. And I watching her was always like, I'm gonna use my shit as I go through life.
Like, it's true though, like if not now then when, you know, life is short.
Well, and for anyone who has followed us for a while, in September I did this retreat in Byron Bay. I booked business class flights and three nights of a hotel in Byron Bay on Qantas Hotels, entirely on Qantas points.
Yeah.
Didn't pay for a thing. I was pretty happy with
that. That's how you want to do it. It's still going to obviously be like the cheapest option to buy the cheapest, most basic fare, of course. Like I could still fly home to Canada from London for like 400 pounds if I really wanted to. But that's basic economy where you don't check a bag, you don't get to pick your seat. So yeah, it's going back to like, is the upgrade worth it? Can you afford it? Do you have points that you can upgrade with? And like kind of just say fuck it and do the upgrade if you can. Like I'm telling you, sometimes it's nice to fly in style.
Well, and I think the easiest way, like for people listening who are like, yeah, this sounds great, but not really in my reach.
Yeah.
The easiest way to get there is like I have a Qantas credit card.
Yes.
Qantas,
yeah.
And Qantas has a $50 annual fee credit card. Mm. Where you earn Qantas points on everything. If you book, like, it is such a good deal, and you earn points so fast on your everyday expenses, where you could get the Qantas points to book business tickets or premium economy without, you know, getting into this whole roundabout.
Yeah. And like everything we're saying as well, this is going to be for people that obviously are traveling quite a lot. Like if you're traveling once a year, I mean, if you are traveling once a year, maybe it is you book it and there's an upgrade and you're like, you know what, I only travel once a year, I'll spend the money on that. But the points though and everything, that's going to be, you know, you got to stay loyal to an airline first of all.
Yeah.
And then second of all, you do tend to have to be traveling quite a lot, which obviously Steph and I both do, so because you have to stay active on them as well. But always check for the upgrades. What about hotels? What's your take on hotel upgrades?
Okay, so this is one where I'm going to have the complete opposite advice as we just did for flight. And again, shout out to my mom because she was really good at teaching me this growing up, where it never hurts to ask.
Yeah.
And hotels and rental cars are two where I always ask.
Yeah.
Hotels, I find if you're there in off season, half the time they will. If they've got the space, they're not booked out, very often they will. And same thing, if you book on hotels.com or you're loyal to a brand, they'll start to really offer those things as well. And if you look the part, you know, be well presented, well spoken, just say, you know, is there any chance for an upgrade today? And see what they say. Because half the time I find hotels will say yes.
Yeah.
And it may not be the biggest upgrade. It may go from like the same room, but parking lot view to falls view, like over Niagara Falls. Or could be the view, could be the room style. Yeah. But I mean, I always ask. With the chains now, I'm in this point where I have status at almost most of the big chains just from working in events. So I do, when I'm traveling for work now, most often get upgraded to like a top floor suite, which is sick.
I think it's, yeah, like you said, it's easier with hotels where if you ask, like they won't make you pay for it. Because I don't know if I would ever pay for an upgrade at a hotel. Like a flight, 100% I would. But a hotel, I'm like, if I've already got like a decent, you know, nice room, like what more do I... You know,
yeah, and I wouldn't. Here's what I found with hotels booking them. So when if I'm staying at a chain like an Intercon, a Hilton, whatever, you always know what kind of room you're getting wherever you are in the world. It's always kind of the same. Mm-hmm. And you're paying enough for like the standard king room. Like those aren't cheap. I wouldn't pay for an upgrade. But when I'm traveling on my own dime, if I'm going to a city where hotels are $300 or $400 a night, and that's the reality of the where I'm going, I'm finding the boutique hotels that have character and flair, and like I feel like I'm getting some luxury for my money. I'm not staying in a Hilton white linen bed, you know,
standard hotel.
That could be anywhere. So yeah, if I'm paying, I'll do the boutique hotels because they feel like luxury in and of themselves, rather than paying for an upgrade at a chain.
Yeah, I think that's something I would do as well. I always like to find those hotels that have a bit of character now. If it's going to be the same price or maybe a little bit more, but it does feel like your own upgrade.
Well, and that's it. But the one where I find I have the most luck asking for upgrades is rental cars.
I feel like that would be worth it in some situations.
Oh, it is. And not even paying for them. So when I book rental cars, I book standard sedan. So I don't book the mini or the economy. Like I'll go standard sedan. I've talked about this in other episodes. I book them way in advance. I use Costco travel because it's always like 30% off.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch it as I go to find cheaper rates as I lead up to the trip. But once I get there, same thing, look well presented, speak well, ask for an upgrade. And half the times, because they want to give the nice cars to people they think will treat them nice.
Right.
And that's how on my 4-month trip through the States last year, I booked standard to sedan. I had a 2023 Ford Mustang convertible the whole trip.
Yes.
Just for asking.
That's what you want.
This trip in Texas last week, I had same standard sedan and... It was taking forever. And I'm like, you know, is the issue you don't have a sedan? Like, because I've been here for a long time. I don't want to wait anymore. Like, can you give me an upgraded vehicle if there's one available? And I got a 2023 Ford Mustang Mach-E on this trip.
Wow.
It was so nice. And they usually, like, sometimes they'll have to call and their manager and be like, oh, can I get permission? But they almost always say yes. Like I always, and I look at the prices when I'm booking it and be like, oh, should I just book the Ford Mustang?
No.
And then I see the price and I go, no. Yeah, but I almost always get the upgrade.
Don't ask, don't get.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, and that's where I was always taught growing up. Ask nicely and respectfully. And the worst someone's going to say is no. And you're going to get what you booked anyways.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you ask? So, yeah. So, rental cars, I definitely have the most luck on.
Yeah, I would say, like, it sounds like hotels, rental cars, and I mean, I don't do rental cars, well, ever. But I feel like those two are not ones I would want to pay the extra money. Like, the money, even if I could afford it, I don't think it would be worth it for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas flight, yes, worth it for me if I can afford it. Having that little bit of extra comfort. I mean, I just find flying is just such a tedious thing if you're not comfortable.
I'm having a flashback, though, to when I was in Las Vegas this year and I booked the most basic room at the Sahara on the Strip. And I got to the room and thank goodness there was actually a guy already checked into the room.
Yeah.
Because him and I, as soon as we realized what happened, we looked at each other and we were like, upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we went back down to the desk because that room was so small. You could barely get around the bed. And I have this massive suitcase.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't have even, like, I would have had to hoist it on the bed every time I wanted to open it. So that was one where I think if he hadn't been in there, I would have got there and been like, I actually will pay more for another room.
Not very often do I walk into a hotel room and think, oh, God, this is the worst, but my hotel in New York, I think I had posted about it. Yeah. The little Charlie hotel. And it was really cute. It was like a little boutique hotel. But my God, hotels are expensive. Expensive in New York. There was no upgrades anywhere because I'm like, I can barely afford a room. And thankfully, I had stayed with a friend of mine for the most of the trip, but I did have to get a hotel the one night. So I found this little boutique hotel where it was like compact. And the pictures looked really cute. And then I got there and I was like, wow, this is small. Like it is, like the room was the bed, basically. And they had like, it was very like creatively put together where they like, you know, put storage in different parts of the room, but it felt like a prison cell. And I did think, because they did have bigger rooms actually.
And that did was one it feel of like more or less of a prison cell than the actual prison cell we stayed in?
More in South actually. The prison cell we stayed in. So for context, Steph and I stayed in like an experience like Airbnb, and it was
an old prison.
It was an old prison, and we slept in a jail cell in bunk beds, and it was fun. We were like convicts. It was cool though. But yeah, the little boutique hotel really felt, I felt very claustrophobic in there. It was cute though. I mean, it was good for one night, but like could not stay there for like longer than maybe a couple nights. But I, thinking back, I should have just asked for an upgrade. And to be honest, even if it was like an extra £100 for a bigger room, I probably would have given them an extra.
So you've come full circle now from I would never pay to upgrade to I would have.
Maybe. I think maybe if I was staying there longer than one night.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good point. Like one night, I feel like you can kind of do anything.
One night is like the equivalent of flying 1 hour. You know what I mean? Like
ooh,
if you're on.
Yes.
Right? Like one night, 1 hour flight. I'm not paying. I will stand for a 1 hour flight if it means like I'll save money. Like I'm not spending an extortionate amount of money for like an up in the air. Like you go up and then you land. No.
Yeah.
Same with one night.
No, I agree. And I think too, as soon as you start getting into the multi nights too, the one thing is like most of the time, if you go to a hotel chain, they're their promotions page, usually they have like a stay three, get the fourth night. Like there's usually deals as well.
True.
But you have to click into them from the site.
You just got to do your research, guys, as always.
Shop like, around. And when I say research, it's like I'm like when I research, I'm literally just like click, 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 like just looking around. It's not anything strategic. I'm like, what do they got?
Well, let us know if you guys have ever paid for an upgrade mostly for flights, and was it worth it to you? I mean, some people I know are just like, I would never fucking pay for business or premium economy. They don't give a shit. Are you one of those people? Are you one of those people that could happily just sit in a middle seat with like people's elbows digging into your side and you're like, yeah, that's fine. If it gets me to where I'm going, no problem.
Yes, send us your wins, guys.
Yeah. All right, that's it for today's episode.
See you next time.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit Have Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a hacer tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.